Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today, as we continue through the devotional journal, Almost Heaven, Devotions for the Journey Home, we're taking a look at various characteristics that the Bible uses to describe heaven or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, describe that gathering of God's children to himself. Written with the idea that God's desire is that we would live as kingdom citizens even on this journey home. That the way things are in heaven will not be so much of a shock, even though we can't comprehend fully what to expect. But there are things that God has told us. And I believe he expects us to live like that, even as we journey through this earth with our eyes fixed on a heavenly home. Today's topic is one of those that tends to be received differently based on how well we pursue this topic. It's a topic of heaven and God's kingdom being a home of obedience. It's one of those things that those that I believe fully seek to obey God, that live their life in such a way that their greatest desire is to live a life of obedience, they hear that topic and they're drawn to it. And then there are those that, understand God desires us to obey, but we tend to have our own list of things that are excluded from that idea of obedience. And those that would call for obedience to God in everything would be viewed as legalistic, as irrelevant to today's culture, as no longer fitting, that God really didn't mean all of that. And so their view of obedience is somewhat limited. It's obeying the things that still apply, and they get to decide what that is. You're reading through Scripture, and it becomes pretty obvious to me that God tends to take the all-or-nothing view. The idea that he is an unchanging God, that our obedience to him ought to be in everything. That there isn't one set of rules, so to speak, one set of expectations for some people and a different set for others. That we can't define it based on what we like or don't like, based on what the world around us approves of or doesn't approve. It ought to be defined on what does God say. And granted, just as in the days of Jesus, there are those that will add to the expectations, claiming that they're commands of God, that they're expectations that God has placed upon everyone. And then there are those that will take away from the commands of God. And so rather than listening to me or someone else or making it up on your own, God continually calls us to his word to know the things that he has said. I believe every generation has done this, and it's obvious in our generation and the one that I live in, the culture I live in, but we like to think we're smarter than everyone else. That the Bible is different today because Well, no one else understood it like we do. They were ignorant of God's real plan and desire because it's been hidden for 2,000 years. And I think, what a trick to think that God would give us His Word, but give it inaccurately to generations and generations of people, just waiting for the day that the 21st century scholar would come along to tell us that God really didn't mean what we think He means. And to that I say, hogwash. It's the very first temptation. Did God really say? As the serpent shows up in the garden and asks Eve, wants Eve to eat of this one tree that God said to leave alone. And he does that by planting doubt, by asking, did God really say? Is that what he really meant? And today we hear that. I hear that often. People will open the scriptures and ask, did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? And at one level, that's a fair question, but when the question is being asked with the intent of not discovering God's word, but changing it, we're in some pretty big trouble. Jesus taught us how to pray. We have this Lord's Prayer, we call it, this model prayer, where he says that we should pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've said this before during the broadcast. I say it various times when I teach on this passage. How do you suspect God's will is done in heaven? I've not been there, but I'm guessing it's done perfectly. It's done quickly. It's done immediately. It's not even a thought to not do it. And how are you and I doing at accomplishing His will, of listening to His will, of going about doing His will here on earth? Is it with the same immediacy that I suspect it's done in heaven? Is it with the same completeness that I suspect it's being done in heaven with? Is it with the same joy, with the same gratitude, with the same level of obedience? I can tell you, in my life, not always. It ought to be. It's my goal, it's my desire, but this flesh gets in the way at times. And that's why it's good to sit back and remember that our home is a home of obedience. I grew up in a home where obedience was expected. And there were times early in my childhood and into middle and later childhood as well, where that obedience was done under fear of punishment. And fear isn't probably the right word for it. I was not afraid of my parents in the sense that they were going to do harm or something that would not be appropriate. But there reached a point, and I'm not sure that I could ever pinpoint when that was. It was a growing process, and I suspect continues to be, where I wanted to obey, where I recognized that the era of punishment, so to speak, had mostly ended, and I still wanted to obey. I still wanted to honor my mom and dad and to do the things that they wanted done. And I believe as Christians, there are times that we obey God because, well, we read the Bible and we recognize that disobedience brings about a separation from God. A punishment that only Jesus could have rescued us from. And eternity without God. And sometimes it's that fear that motivates us to do what God says. But as we grow, as we mature in Christ, there ought to reach a point where we recognize that our obedience is being done because we want to obey. We couldn't imagine living any other way. Any disobedience is met with sorrow on our part simply because we may be more disappointed in ourselves than our Father is. And so we grow. We ask forgiveness and we continue to desire to obey out of love, out of respect, out of honor, out of relationship. We learn that our Father has always only wanted what was best. We learn that our disobedience brought pain to Him, even more than the punishment brought pain to us. You see, in this home that we all desire to be a part of, this home of heaven, there will be complete obedience. And I believe it's fitting for you and for me to live that way now. To gaze intently and deeply into God's Word, not with the intent of changing it to make it fit our culture or changing it to make it fit what we want, but with the intent of doing what it says. We grow in obedience and we prepare ourselves for that home that Jesus is making ready for us. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are indeed a God that loves us. You have called us to yourself. You have called us to a life of obedience. Father, forgive us for those times that we question your word. Oh, especially for those times where we've changed it so it's more comfortable to us. Father, may you continually draw us back to your word that we would do the things that it says because they're things that you say. Father, may we recognize the wisdom that you have poured out upon mankind throughout all generations so that your word could not only be written down and conveyed to us, but it could be preserved. So, Father, protect us from those that would change your word to make it more culturally appropriate or more man-like, that would diminish the power of the gospel, which is the salvation of all of us, the power of the message of Jesus. Father, as we celebrate Christmas, we think about the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, the one who would save us from our sins. May we rejoice in that story, knowing that it happened. And knowing the miraculous events surrounding it are real. That they reflect your power working within nature, your power working within mankind. To bring about this fullness of time into which Jesus was born. Father, as I pray about our obedience, I continue to pray for the children in our homes, our schools, our churches, our communities. I pray that we would help them to mature beyond obeying out of fear of punishment to where they begin to obey out of love. May we recognize the value of correction and teaching and training. But may we do that teaching and training so that the growth takes place. Father, for all of us, as we live life and we encounter things that we don't want to do, and we hear that whisper, and sometimes it's more than a whisper, it's the shout of the people around us asking, did God really say? Rather than responding from our emotion, from our desires, may we gaze deeply into your word to see what you really have said. And Father, may we not be guilty of changing it to fit what we want, but may we be changed to fit what it says. Oh, Father, today as I pray, I continue to pray for so many that are struggling to find truth, that are looking for the systems of this world to provide peace and stability. Just as so many were looking in the days of Jesus for a Messiah to provide peace and stability to their political culture. May we see beyond the temporary and realize that you have brought peace and stability to all who would call upon your name, to all who would come to you and become children of God. Oh, Father, this Christmas season, I pray that we would remember the sacrifice that was being made. The sacrifice by Mary and Joseph there in Bethlehem to give and devote their life to being used by God. And Father, as we consider, as I consider that very statement, we often look at the honor that Mary had. And may we realize the honor that we also can have as we devote ourselves to your exclusive use. As we devote ourselves to a life of obedience, as we say, here am I, Lord, use me. And so, Father, as we consider the work being done by obedient children of yours, may we never lose sight of the great sacrifice that was being made by Jesus. Even there in that manger scene as he left the glories of heaven itself to come as a baby, to live life, to grow, to do all the things that we would do but without sin. Always with an eye toward the cross, knowing there would be a sacrifice of death yet to be paid. Father, as your word tells us, the cries and prayers of Jesus was heard because of his obedient submission. May we gain comfort and encouragement in knowing that we too are heard as we live a life of obedience, as we honor you by accepting and doing the things that your word says rather than deleting and changing it. Father, may we be those wise people who take your word, who consume it, who digest it, who make it a part of our life so that we do the things that it contains. And that our obedience to you is such a part of our life as we express our love. Father, as we live those lives of obedience, may we lift up Jesus in all things so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Wednesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.